Philippians chapter number 3 is where we're going to be. We'll be in verses 1 through verse number 14. We'll take some time and study some scripture here this morning. If you will, bow your head and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house, to dig into your word for just a few moments, God. And I pray that you'll take your word and speak to our hearts, God. I pray that you'll help me to leave here closer than I was when I came. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, help us to heed to your word and to your Holy Spirit. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter number 3. What I want to do this morning is, for just a few minutes, I want to read to you a letter written from prison. There's a guy that's been put in prison, and he has written a letter, and this letter he has written back to some church family that he had. And as he was in prison, they decided that they were going to try to encourage him. So they sent him a little bit of money, sent him some gifts, and they sent it by one of his buddies. And as his buddy goes and takes his money and these gifts over to him while he's in prison, his buddy becomes very sick. And when he becomes sick, he hears that the church family back home, they're really upset that the buddy is sick. The buddy has a name. His name is Epaphroditus. So Epaphroditus has become sick, and the church family back home, they're really discouraged because now Paul is in prison, and Epaphroditus is there bringing him the gifts, and he has become sick, and they're afraid that he's going to die while he's there. So Paul, from prison, he writes this letter back to the Philippians, to this church that has been established in Philippi, and he sends it with Epaphroditus. He says, I want you to go back. I want you to let everybody know that you're okay, and I want you to give them this letter. Now, this letter is just a thank you letter to the church there at Philippi. It should be just a short, sweet letter. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for sending Epaphroditus. It encouraged me. Glad to see him. Hope y'all are doing great. But I do believe that Paul might have been Baptist, and I'll prove it to you here in just a minute, because this short, sweet thank you letter ended up being 4 chapters in the book of Philippians. So then as we get in to chapter number 3, I want you to look at the first word that is given in chapter number 3, verse number 1. Finally. How many times have you heard Baptist preachers say, in conclusion, or I'm almost done, and they go for another 15, 20 minutes? What in the world? Why do we even say it? I don't know, but we do. But here, as Paul writes in chapter number 3, verse number 1, the first word, he says, finally. And kind of like some of y'all, when I say, I'm almost done, I see you just relief hit you. Oh, he's almost done. Check that watch one more time. We're getting ready to go. Grab the coat. Get the kids ready. Here we go. So as Paul writes in chapter number 3, verse number 1, he says, finally. And I can see that they're reading this letter and they say, well, he's almost done, but he goes for another 2 chapters, chapter number 3 and chapter number 4. So he wasn't almost done either. Let me tell you, I'm nowhere near done. So we're just going to get started. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse number 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. I got to stop for just a minute as we get into verse number 2, because as you look at the first 3 words there in verse number 2, the Bible says beware of dogs. Now that is a sign that I hate to see, especially if I'm going to visit with somebody and I pull up in their driveway and I see a sign that says beware of dog. I almost want to just turn around and leave right there. And I know that's the purpose of the sign. Keep preachers and robbers away. That's the 2 things that sign's for. When I was small, I was riding my bicycle one day, and I was riding over to my grandpa's house, and it was me and my brother and my mom, and we were riding along the road, and all of a sudden, here come a big German shepherd bouncing out toward the road. And my brother took off doing about 100 miles an hour and outrun the dog. But he come out there, and it was just trotting along beside me and my mom, and mom kept hollering to the people that owned the dogs, will that dog bite? Will that dog bite? They never answered. That's a bad sign, let me tell you. So they would never answer, and the next thing I know, he had a hold of my leg, and since that day, I have been afraid of dogs. Not just deathly afraid, but if I don't know your dog, I'm going to be kind of standoffish until I get to know your dog. So when I see that sign, beware of dogs, I throw up a red flag and go, okay, we need to pay attention to what's going on here. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she's not afraid of dogs. She has actually called me names like Sissy and other things like that because I'm afraid of dogs. I can remember one time, you will remember this when I tell this story. Hey, speaking of dog house, if the church ever wants to buy me a nice dog house, I need one to live in after I get done telling stories about my wife. So my wife and I had a I had a little truck, and I took it to a guy to have it worked on one day, and it was kind of on the way to church, and we needed to stop and pick up my truck, and he had called and said my truck was ready, but I won't be here, so just stop and get your truck. Well, to give you a little background into the story, this guy has a Doberman Pinscher that stands about this tall. I'm terrified of the dog. My brother also has his vehicles worked on there, or at that time we did, and he had already told me that a couple of weeks before that, he went by to pick up one of his trucks, and that dog just about eat him alive. He said, I'm telling you, he said, if it hadn't been for me being able to jump in the back of the truck, he said, that dog would have eaten me alive. So I pulled up to the site where my truck was, and right there is my truck, and between me and the truck is that Doberman. And I said, we're not going to get it tonight. Let's go to church. What do you mean we ain't going to get it tonight? I said, do you see that dog? I said, I'm not getting out with that dog. And my wife says, well, you big sissy. Might as well put it in that word. You big sissy. And she gets out of the truck and goes walking towards the truck. And she walks right past the Doberman and climbs in the truck and leaves. So that made me even a bigger sissy than what I was to begin with. So my wife don't pay attention to beware of dogs. One more story and I'll leave you alone with the stories this morning. My dad, as he was young and his pastorate, he pastored a church in Laurel Fork, Virginia. It took forever to get there. One day somebody was sick in one of the households and he said, come on, we need to go visit with this family. So the whole family went and we went over there, and as Dad gets out of the car and he goes to go see the people there and to visit with them, there is signs up everywhere that says, beware of dog, beware of dog. And there's some little kids playing there on the front porch. And Daddy gets out of the car and he starts toward the front porch. And the little boy hollers and says, mister, he says, watch out for my dog. He said, I don't know where he's at right now, but he said he will bite. So Daddy is then creeping toward the front door. Nobody knows where this dog is. And the little boy says, well, he must be gone for now. You're probably okay. So Daddy said he gets halfway. He said it couldn't have been more halfway than anything in the world. He said, I was halfway between the house and the car, no safe ground anywhere. And he said, all of a sudden, the little boy goes, here he comes, here he comes. So Daddy said he took off running back toward the car. He jumps up on the hood of the car. And here comes a little dog about this big around the side of the house. So it don't matter when you say dog and beware of dogs, you automatically go, hang on, watch out. This could be dangerous. And here Paul, he says, beware of dogs. This is a church that has just been born. They're just growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now there's a crowd here, they're called Judaizers, that are now perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works? It's not that anything that we could do, lest any man should boast. And here we have some Judaizers that are coming to this church here in Philippi, and they're saying, well, it's okay that you believe in God, and it's okay that you believe in the work of Christ, but it's also about something that you can do, and that is circumcision, and they was wanting to add that to it. Let me tell you something, when we begin to add or take away to the blood of Jesus Christ, we're off course. We need to stop and we need to get back to what God says is a saving grace, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we get to verse number 3, he's saying, beware of those dogs. The dogs come in all shapes and sizes, but they all or most have teeth. They all can bite. He says, beware of those dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision. Now, he's talking about a different kind of circumcision. They were talking about a fleshly circumcision, but he said, I want to talk to you about the circumcision of the heart. He said, we are of the circumcision. We have been saved by grace through faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I want you to pay close attention to that, have no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Look, I want to show you what Paul says. Paul says here, these guys, they're wanting to put confidence in the flesh. They're wanting to make it about works. And you can't make it about works. It is only by Jesus Christ. He says, but if you want to talk about works, and if you want to put confidence in the flesh, I can put confidence in the flesh. He said, I'm going to give you some reasons why I could put confidence in the flesh. Verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, in other words, just to get the tongue-tiedness out of that, in other words, he says, there are some that think they can trust in the flesh, but if they think they can, I can outweigh them with my flesh. I can prove that I'm more righteous through my flesh. Verse number 5, circumcised the eighth day. He came from a religious family that followed the law, and he was circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, he said, I'm purebred. I'm right out of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's listing off the reasons that he could have confidence in the flesh. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews as touching the law. He says, I know all the law. I'm even considered a Pharisee, which is a great student of the law, even a master of the law. Verse number 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, I'm blameless to the law. He says, concerning my excitement, he said, I even went as far as to persecute the church. Verse number 7, I want you to get to where he brings them back to the point, though. He says, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul says, but all of these things that we're talking about that are fleshly, that makes me to where I could be considered worthy because of my fleshly deeds, or if I want to add this to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, I could do that. He said, but it's not going to be any good because all of those things which you think is profitable to me, all of those things that you think is good, that puts a little check mark by my name, all of those things I count for loss for Christ. Verse number 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Look what he says right here. He says, I count all things but loss. And this word for, you could substitute the word except. I count all things for loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, all of those things, he said, I count them as dung. Are we all on the same page with what dung is? You know that stuff that stinks around the barn? That's dung. And I'm not talking about your neighbor when they've been out there working. I'm talking about the stuff in the stall that you have to dig out. He said, all of those, he says, I count them for dung, except for the knowledge of the excellency of Christ. You know, sometimes I think that we take for granted. I think sometimes that we absolutely forget how wonderful it is, how great it is, how just amazing it is to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have the knowledge of Him in our lives, to know that we know Him in a personal relationship, to know that He lives on the inside of us through His Holy Spirit. We forget that all everything else is but dung except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, for whom I have suffered all loss. He said, I put everything away and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you playing to win? Are you playing to win Christ? You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Now you're going to start talking about works, and you just told us it wasn't about works. Listen, I'm not talking about winning salvation. I'm talking about winning that relationship with God that God desires to have with you and that we should have to have with Him. We should have a desire to have a relationship with God that is so close. I think I said this Wednesday night, and I really like the way that it come out, and it's all God, it's not me. But I want to be so close with God that people cannot tell where my will stops and God starts in my life. I want God's will to be so amazing in my life. I want God's will to overshadow my life so much that my will and His will become as one. I don't know that I'll ever reach that, but I want to play to win. I want to play to win that in my life, that I may win Christ. You know, sometimes we go to softball tournaments, and softball tournaments, they come out a little strange sometimes. They got different levels that they put your teams in. You're either an AA team, a BB team, a C team, whatever it is. And you'll go to a tournament, and I've heard coaches say this, and maybe you'll go to a tournament and they're going to win something big out of this tournament. They got what they call a free berth, is what you can win sometime from these softball tournaments. And that free berth pays your entry fee into a bigger tournament somewhere down the road. And if you win the gold bracket, you can win a free berth. If you win the silver bracket, like sixth place, you win a free berth. If you win the next bracket down, I've even lost it, bronze or whatever it is, you win a free berth. 12th place wins a free berth. And you know, I've heard coaches say, you know, we're going to sandbag our first two pool games so that we can get into a lower bracket and we can win and get that free berth. Let me tell you something, it's just not in me to play to lose. I'm not the kind of person that can go about anything and play to lose. I got to play to win no matter what I'm doing. You ask my kids. We got a ping pong table for Christmas, and I went down there the other night and demolished them for I don't know how. I don't play to lose. Addie finally beat me the other night, but it's not in my DNA to play to lose. It's not in my DNA to lighten up. Silas, he and I go to the gym and we play basketball, I go as hard with him. It's not as hard as it used to be, but when he gets ready to go up for a shot, hey, it's not just let him go up for a shot. I think I have broke his finger so far, and I pushed him into the wall the other day when we were at the community center playing. So I play to win at everything that I go at. Except for when I look at my Christian life, I don't always play to win in my Christian life. Because you know what? These dogs that Paul is talking about slip up in my life. There's so many different dogs that can slip up in your life. And we're not aware of the dogs. We're not aware that these things are getting us off track. But he says, I count it all loss that I may win Christ. Verse number 9, I want to show you what you win when you win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Because my righteousness is what? As it's filthy rags, is what the Bible tells us, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. You know, there's a difference between knowing Christ and knowing Christ. There's a big difference in that. There's a big difference in receiving salvation and coming into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where he is Lord of your life and you are surrendered unto him. There's a big difference in that. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want to know his power and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse number 13. Excuse me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything and otherwise be minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I want us to look for just a minute. Are we playing to win in our Christian life? Are we forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark which is before us? I believe I've preached out of this scripture since I've been pastor here, but this scripture is so important in our Christian life. Look, we got a guy that's writing a letter from prison. Now, he's not in prison for the bad things that he was doing. He's in prison because he was preaching the gospel, and they have arrested him, and they've put him in prison. But I want you to know that before he was put in prison for being such a good person and preaching the gospel, that he was persecuting Christians, that he was killing Christians, that he was doing some very terrible things that in that day was accepted because they were straying from the law. Not straying from the law, they were fulfilling the law through Jesus Christ. But as he is in prison and he's writing this letter, you know, I'm sure that there's days that he sat there in prison, he thought, you know, I remember when I did so and so. I remember when this happened in my life. Things that probably were terrible things in his life. I know that we have talked about this before, but there are things in my life that I have done, that I've been part of, that I've witnessed, that I've seen, that I've heard, that I've said, that I wish never happened. You know, the bad thing about it is when you go begin to look in somebody else's closet and you begin to drag out the skeletons in their closet, is sometimes we get so self-righteous we forget about the ones that's in ours. We get so just self, oh, look at all this, look at this terrible stuff that they've done and blah, blah, blah. And we've all got skeletons in our closet that we'd just be tickled to death if they stay there forever. Amen? Absolutely. When Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he said, you know, we even know that his name was changed from Saul to Paul at his conversion. But he says, I want you to know something. You have got to forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark that is set before you. We got to forget some things that are hindering us from winning Christ. It might be a burden. It might be a hurt. It might be a trouble or a heartache. There might be something in your life that happened to you in the past that has just got you bogged down, that has got you in a place that it seems impossible for you to get in the right relationship with God, that it just keeps coming up over over and over and over. Even people that you bump into, they bring it back up. They want to talk about the old you. Well, I want to tell you something. God don't know the old you anymore. He gave you a brand new start. He said that old man is crucified and you've been risen up a new man. Yeah, I'm like they are in the Bible. I have to die daily, but I'm so thankful that the old me is gone and I got a brand new me. But as we go from day to day, those things, they keep coming up in our lives, and we find ourselves in a place that is hindering us from winning Christ, from being in that relationship with God that he wants us to have. But you know, it also might be burdens, heartache, troubles, and hurt. It could be some failure that happened to us in our life. There's also times that success is holding us back from being where we should be with God. I've been in places to where life was going good. I was being successful. Everything was working just fine. I mean, you know what I find myself doing a lot of times when that happens in my life? I go back to my righteousness. I go back to my works. And I start to move away from God. Instead of moving towards God and saying, God, thank you so much for blessing me with this. Show me what I need to do with this to give you glory and to point others to the cross. Instead of doing that, I start going, God, I got this. Now, God, you stay right there. I'll be back when I need you. Y'all have never done that, but I've done that. God, when I need you, I'll call you. That's not the relationship that God wants with us. That's not the relationship that we should desire to have with Christ. So sometimes it might even be a success that is hindering us from winning Christ. Are you playing to win in your spiritual life this morning? There might be some things that we need to forget. And there's definitely some things that we need to press toward. We know that our final goal, we know that our final reward, we know that our final destination, heaven, is something that we should be pressing towards. That should be something that when all the world seems like it's going wrong, when everything else seems like it's about to implode or explode or whatever it's going to do, that we should be able to lift our eyes and say, but I know it's going to be over before long. I know that I'm going to be in the presence of God. That should be something that we're continually pressing toward. But I also believe that there is a relationship, there is a place in our Christian walk that God wants us to be, that can give us, now look, I'm not changing doctrine here, but that can give us a little piece of heaven here on earth. That I believe that God wants us to be in a relationship with him, that even though you might be in the middle of a struggle or a trial, that you feel that presence of God. We need to press toward the mark of a perfect fellowship with God. You ever been in perfect fellowship with anybody? I can remember one time, We were needing another deacon at Pine Ridge when we were there, and there were two other deacons besides me. I believe that's right. I'm trying to tell a story right. It was either me and one more, or it may have just been me and one more. And we had been praying that God would speak to us about another deacon at Pine Ridge. And we've been praying about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he come to me. This other guy, he's done gone to glory. He's done reached his goal. But he come to me, and he says, Josh, he said, I think I've got an answer from God who the next deacon needs to be. And I said, well, that's good. I think I do too. And I really figured that we would be opposite. But both of us had the very same person on our mind that felt like God had spoke to us and pointed us toward. And it is so great when we were in perfect fellowship there for just a moment. And that's the way I want to be with God. That when God has an idea, that my heart is already desiring that idea. That God is already leading me towards something, and I already want to be in that perfect fellowship with him and going where he wants me to go, to be totally surrendered under the Holy Spirit. I'm not totally surrendered under the Holy Spirit. I can get one amen right here if I can't get another one. I am probably the most hard-headed person in this congregation. I knew I could get one. I could probably get a dozen more right quick, but I don't want to do that to you this morning. I am probably the most hard-headed person in this congregation. You don't have to say it again. We're good. And sometimes I know without a doubt that God is speaking to me, that God is wooing me, that God is pointing me in a direction, and I use something to hinder me from winning Christ. Whether it be I'm too busy, or whether it be I don't know about this. I'm going to pray about it for a while. Praying is awesome. The Bible teaches us to pray about everything. But there's some times when you know God's speaking to you and you don't need to use prayer for an excuse. You need to go on and do it. Pray in your heart as you're going, if that's what you need to do. But there are times that God is speaking to me, and that's how I know that I'm not totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. And I'm really ashamed of myself for this, but I want you all to know that your pastor is human, and the stuff that I stand here and preach to you, that I'm not preaching to you, that I'm preaching to us. Because I want my life to be where God wants it to be. A few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go up and to speak to two different FCA groups at Carroll County. One was at Carroll County High School. One was at Carroll County Middle School. Carroll County High School, there was about 20 people that showed up that morning and got to speak to them for just a few minutes, give them a little bit of God's word, give them the gospel. We had a great time. The next day, I went back to Carroll County Middle School. There was probably 220 students in that gymnasium that morning. Had an opportunity to speak to them. And at the end, I more or less gave an invitation. And the message was about our choices. And I asked them, you know, maybe you're here and you know Christ, and you just want to make better choices for God. There was hands that went up all over the place in that gymnasium. And then I said, or maybe you're here and you've never chose Christ. You've never asked Him to come into your life. And it was one little hand that went up. And I was absolutely just, I was just taken off guard. You would think that I wouldn't be. Man, I pastor a church. I'm super spiritual. No. But I was just like, oh, okay, now what do I do with this? I didn't want to go to the little girl and embarrass her. I didn't want to call her out and embarrass her. I gave her an opportunity to respond, but I just felt like there needs to be more. There needs to be something else. And I did go to the lady that's kind of overseeing, and I said, look, I want you to find an opportunity to go and talk to that little girl. But you know what? It wasn't her responsibility to talk to that little girl. It was my responsibility. God told me to do it, and I walked away from it. See, I'm not perfect. I know that I'm not completely surrendered to the will of God, to the Holy Spirit in my life. I mess up. But you know what? That's the mark that I want to press toward, that when the Holy Spirit speaks, that I react like I do when Autumn speaks. When she speaks and I jump, that's the way I want to be with the Holy Spirit. I want to move. I want to move just like that. When God speaks, I move. I'm not surrendered to the Holy Spirit like that. Pressing towards some marks. I want to lay my treasures up in heaven, and I'll be real quick. I'm about done. I want to learn to trust in the Lord totally and lean not to my own understanding. When things don't make sense, when things ain't going right, when this world, listen, Christian, if we're completely at home in this world, if we are just satisfied in this world, Addie said the other night that she had a dream about dying. And she said, it was so real, and she said, I was so scared. And that's understandable, 100% understandable. And she said, I really believe that if I'd have died in my dream, she said, I would have really died. I think the word she said was, I would have woke up dead. But she said, I think if I really died in my dream, that I would have really died. And she said, I even seen y'all picking up my casket and all this kind of stuff. Kind of weird, but anyway. So it's opened up a conversation in our car the other day. And I said, I have got to the place. Now listen, this is full of grace, holy Josh talking right here. I'm not in that situation. I said, I really don't think I'm afraid of dying. I really think that, you know, I am settled in my heart, my relationship with Jesus Christ. I really don't think I'm afraid of dying. I think I'm okay with that. And we got into that conversation, and it made me begin to think, if we get to where we are so at home in this world, that this world feels more like home than what's waiting for us over there, we're in a little bit of trouble in our spiritual life. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be afraid of dying. And I'm not saying that tomorrow, if they tell me they're going to crack my chest open and work on my heart, that I wouldn't be going, oh, Lord, I'm scared. You know, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we get so comfortable here that we're not totally trusting on God. We're more at home here than what we think we would be over there. I want to be to the place to where I am fully trusting in the Lord, leaning not into my own understanding, because this world, sooner or later, is going to turn on Christian people. It's in God's word. It's going to get tougher for us. It's going to be harder. And we need to be already leaning on Jesus. Don't wait till the end to lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus right now. Preacher, I can't do this. Well, everything that you said this morning, I just can't do it. I want to, but I can't. Well, listen, go all the way back to verse number 3 where we were talking at the end of the verse where it says, put no confidence in the flesh. See, when you're saying I, you've made it about you again instead of about the name of Jesus Christ. As you stand to your feet this morning, as they come give us invitational hymn, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life this morning, no more than you know where I'm at. Hey, I lay a lot of my life down wide open up here for y'all. I don't know if that's always a good thing or if sometimes it's a bad thing. But maybe you've done some things recently that you go, what? You know what? I'm not totally surrendered under the Holy Spirit. I haven't given God complete control of my life. I'm not pressing toward that. I'm letting some stuff in my past hinder me from winning Christ. I'm not playing to win in my Christian life. I don't know if there's been a day since that little girl raised her hand and I failed to do what God told me to do. I don't know if there's been a day since then that I haven't thought, did I just change her eternity? Did I just fail her for all eternity? See, some of the stuff that we've been commissioned to do and some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit speaks to us to do is way bigger than we can ever imagine. It's way more important. Brother, we've been talking about discipleship for how long? And there I was, had an opportunity. Walked away from it. God, help me. I want to surrender to Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Where are you at in your Christian life? Are you playing to win? Are you fully surrendered? Is there some things in the past that you need to forget? Hannah, if you will, sing. Is God speaking to your heart? This altar's open. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no better time than right now. Come on, if God's speaking to your heart and you need to talk to Him, if you need to surrender some things to Him, if you need to forget some things which are behind and press towards some things that are before, this altar's open. Come on.
Keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working when you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy. Just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen when nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Thank you for this day. We thank you for this many blessings that you've given us. God, we thank you for this word that you've led us to this morning. God, I know that I stand here guilty. God, I know that I stand here, that I fall and I come short, but God, I pray that you'll help me to press toward that mark, to play to win Christ in my life, to be in that perfect relationship with you, surrender to the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'll help us as we go every single day, that we will be more and more surrendered to you, that we'll be more and more sensitive to your Holy Spirit in our life. God, this letter from prison that was written so long ago, how precious it still is to us today. God, we want to thank you and we want to praise you for it. Thank you for my church family. God, thank you for our visitors that's here with us today. God, for the effort that they put in to be in your house. I pray that you'll bless them for it. And God, help us all to live a life that you're pleased with. In Jesus' name, amen.